last 2 Sundays, I've been talking about welcoming. And this is a series, and coming to my third part of what it means about welcoming. It's more like us giving each other a friendly smile or get to know each other much more through conversation or time together. But basically, let me summarize what I've been saying for the past 2 weeks, just in case you miss out what I've been trying to tell you guys. Can we have the slide first? Next one. Welcoming the insiders and outsiders is necessary toward cultivating a genuine sense of welcome. I talk about how Jesus, through the story about the tax collector Simon and that woman, the outsider, those whom Jesus welcomed are not outsiders to him. But for us, sometimes as a community, can be outsiders. But at the same time, the insiders, I talked about it last week, is about the children, right? The last sermon, I talked about the children. These are the insiders, people who are part of our community. And let us look at this text again from Luke chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. It says, "Now they will bring even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, 'Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God.'" But I just want to take note of verse 17. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child cannot enter it. So, quick question. How are we supposed to enter the kingdom? Like a child. And like a child, children are the one, if they are of certain age, I often feel if they're below 5 years old, they practically have no filter. And they're full of imagination. Whatever you tell them, they believe you, right? And this is how we are supposed to enter the kingdom, without any filter, with full of imagination, believing something is always good in store because God is ahead of us. But as we grow as a community, and this is what happened to the Church of Romans, Paul says something to the effect in Romans 15, verse 7, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." If you look through the history of the Church of Romans, you discover it first started as a purely Jewish church. And subsequently, Gentiles became believers and become like a church mixed of two different cultures, two different groups, in which Paul says about later in Colossians, about Ephesians, about Christ is our peace who has broken down every wall. So in those days, Jews and Gentiles set themselves apart. But because of Jesus, they came together and they lived together as a community. But somewhere along the way, the Jews were being chased out from Rome. And so the church became purely Gentile again. But subsequently, there was a reversal of government policy. The Jews went back to Roman, and then the church became a mixed community again. And that's where the problem started. So it went through this history of purely Jews, mix of Jews and Gentiles, then purely Gentiles, and then became purely Jews and Gentiles all over again. And there is a welcome problem. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Then the question we must ask, how does God in Christ welcome us? How does God in Christ welcome us? Very reluctantly? No. With extravagant love, isn't it? How Jesus welcomed us is always with open arms. That's why he was annoyed with his disciples who were stopping parents from bringing their infant babies to him for blessing. And so he began to tell them that if you stop or hinder people from being part of the kingdom, you know, there is going to be a great issue with him. But rather he said, do not hinder them. And then Jesus began to bless and began to say the posture, the attitude we need to enter the kingdom is like a little child believing God denies us nothing. But God has everything good in store for us. Amen. And this is how we should believe. Right? It's not easy believism. Because if you believe God has given you eternal life, how much more God will not give you anything to the purpose of his glory. Amen. But much more than that, the next slide is, if God welcomes us, what we need to do is welcome yourself by accepting God's welcome of you. Right? Have you ever been to a church and you say, this church is not so welcoming? Right? I'm sure it's not First Light. It's some other churches, right? But the issue here is this, is that, yes, we go to church, we hope someone will recognize us or someone will reach out to us, make us more comfortable, you know, or someone who just reach out to us and say hello and hi. But sometimes the deeper issue here is, if Jesus welcomes us with extravagant love and Jesus opened his arms to us, first thing first, if you ever come to this community, is to welcome yourself as a beloved child of God. Because once you come in as a with that mindset, welcoming yourself, by accepting God's welcome of you, it resets everything. It doesn't matter whether someone here is to welcome you or someone did not talk to you, because you know you are welcome in the very presence of God. So, one we have to do is welcome the outsider. Then we need to do is welcome the insider. But one of the most essential welcome is to welcome yourself. Is it narcissistic? No, it's not. Because it will flow to how you learn to relate others. Is it not true? It's how you feel today or the mood that you have was impacted by someone else's mood. And if you do not take control of your mood is going to impact someone else's mood. So look at your neighbor and hope they are not moody today, right? If they look moody, please change seats and come to the front. It's all happy people here. But the truth is this, is that here, what we need to learn is, how does God welcome us? He said, you come like a little child. If God calls us to come like a little child to him, that means God is our perfect and righteous Father. Amen. And this is my point here. God is reparenting us as our perfect and righteous Father. The word reparenting is not new, but this word is never used in First Light. In fact, just a few days ago, I woke up with this word called reparenting. Right? It's not about me reparenting my children. I wish they're young again, 5 years old, chasing after Amanda and Ned, but cannot anymore. Right? Now they chase after me for a lot of stuff. Now, the thing is this. The word reparenting is important because all of us needs reparenting. Because we need to have closure. We need healing. We need the healing of our wounds and scars that has been inflicted on us. You see, how does God reparent us? First, he justified us in Christ. When we say we are justified by grace through faith, we have been given a placement as a son of God, as a child of God, as a son and daughters of God. But then as we are being sanctified, the process of sanctification is being maturing, or we are being mature as true sons and daughters of God. We have been made holy, but now God is much more doing something much deeper for us, is that he wants us to bear the fruits of holiness. And this is important. And the thing is, why you and I need reparenting is from a very simple point. I'm going to say this very sensitively, but every one of you are going to agree with me. The most significant relationship we all have are with our parents and with our siblings. But many of us will begin to realize many of our wounds and hurts comes from that group of people. Come on, people. And this thing is our life. If we don't have healthy parenting, or we are deprived of healthy parenting, we carry that wound into all our relationship. Most parents, I will tell you, how we are being raised are what we call default parenting. What is default parenting? It means muscle memory. The way they raise us is how they were raised. Maybe slightly better. Right? Many of us say, when I become a parent, I will not be like my parent. How many of you say that? But then end up, you are like your parent. Okay, this is not an indictment or criticism, but this is something we must begin to realize, that many of us, we repeat the same habit, we repeat the same pattern, is because we have not come to term to recognize God needs to help us heal our wounds and unprocessed emotion. In one sense, we must move beyond our own parents and look to God as the perfect and righteous Father. Amen. Reparenting is the act of receiving from our perfect Father, our righteous Father. It is not to say our parents were not good enough, or you and I who are parents, we feel we've not done enough for our children. No matter how good we have been, can we not recognize there are times we are lacking in something? And it's not our fault. It is our life experience, our life history. But let us not then beat ourselves up. We do the best we can. But there must be a time we must also release our children in the hands of God. But not a time. Every time you must release your children in the hands of God. But you and I, no matter what age we are in, many of our life's wounds and scars came out from our family situation. And some of us, we all will say this, we can be related, but there is no relationship. Some of us have stopped talking to our siblings, for example. Related, but no relationship. And this is something that can bother us as believers until we begin to see something of our Father who is perfect and who is righteous, that He is able to give us things that we did not receive as a child. That's why James says, look to the Father of lights, who does not have that shadow, any turning. That Father is a perfect Father. He does not one day loves you and the other day He won't love you. He's consistently loving us, giving us what we need to receive that we can be made whole. Why is this important? Because the Father loves us with perfect love. He calls us a masterpiece in Ephesians. Now, how many of you feel like you're a masterpiece? Right? Some of us don't. But the truth is, we are. But God has to work in such a way, sometimes not so much as not true, but to convince us it is true. It is what we call the renewing of the mind. Why do we need renewing of the mind? It's because we are made so new as a new creation, we have to be reintroduced to ourselves one more time. That's why I say anyone who is in Christ, right, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So if you and I are new creation, means we have to be reintroduced to ourselves again, because this is no longer who you are. But now, this is who you are in Christ. And this is the song of David in the Psalms 27, verse 1. He says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. If you look at the life of David, you can say he was not the favorite son. Remember when Samuel went to Jesse's house, he said, gather all your sons, because God says to me, I need to anoint one of them to be the next king. Jesse gathered all the sons, but left David up in the field tending the sheep. Until Samuel gone to everybody, he asked Jesse, do you have one more son? Because apparently, I'm a prophet, I can't be wrong. And then Jesse, oh, I've forgotten. Right? David up there in the field. And David, out of his own personal life history, life experience, write this psalm and begin to sing, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The word forsaken is to leave you as a destitute. In fact, the word goes even deeper than that, that people abandon you because you are diseased. It is like having leprosy in those days. There were no cure. And the best thing to do is just to forsake them, check them on sight, and just not to do anything with them. And that's what David used the word forsake. It was a very strong word. And that echoes for some of us. The rejection and abandonment we experience in life. But then he says, David begins to sing, but the Lord will take me up. To be forsaken by your family members is to become like an emotional orphan in your own home. Related, but no relationship. So emotionally, you feel like an orphan, even though you have family members. But then David says, the Lord, as my perfect and righteous Father, will take me up. And the word take me up means together for a purpose. When people have forsaken you, when people have rejected you, they say you are not good enough, the Lord come and swoop you up into his hand and say, I have purpose for you. I call you my masterpiece. You are not who you think you are. You are more than you are. And so that's why David will begin to talk about God is my refuge. The one I turn to in my times of need. God has brought us into the kingdom. He chose to so-called cause us sons and daughters, and we invited to this family. And that is why if you look through the four gospel, the teaching of Jesus, he often told the disciples and the listeners around him that your God and my God, your Father who is righteous. You see, in those days, if you live in Jesus' time, you never call God your Father. He was the Almighty, he's sovereign, but there is no sense of that tinge of a personal relationship because they were under the old covenant. If they followed the law, everything will be great and okay. But Jesus came and brought them the new covenant where God has declared from the Ancient of Days that I shall be your God and you shall be my people. The very fact God made that promises to the pages of the Old Testament to the New Testament is a consistent message as I am here to repair you. When Adam and Eve fell in sin, God came to the garden to repair them and say, who told you you were naked? When Cain felt his sacrifice was rejected by God, God came to Cain and say, outside your door there is a sin offering. What you must do is, the sin offering was a lamb, a sheep, because Abel's offering was accepted, but Cain's offering was not accepted. And Cain was angry. Cain was disappointed. And God says, look, there's a way for you to know that the proper worship is for you. In those days, was the sacrifice of an animal. And God said, I send you a sheep, a sin offering. All you need to do is to master over it, to do it the right way that your offering will be accepted. You see, throughout the pages of the Old Testament, the New Testament, God parent and reparent people again and again. You think of the story of Moses, the story of Joseph, the story of Gideon. God came to them where they felt forsaken, but God picked them up. If you have time to study the Bible, and I would suggest you make time to study the Bible, you will begin to realize it's a collection of many stories about 1,000 characters who are called by name, right? There are many characters, but about 1,000 characters are called by name. But all the 1,000 characters, maybe about 100 of them choose to run after God to fulfill the destiny God has called them into. But those who really fulfill that purpose of God to the very day they die, only 30 people. What does he say? it says that every one of us are in that story as well. We have been called. We have been invited. And God will continue to parent us again and again and again until we catch hold of that purpose of our life. And I think all of us here will want to desire, we make it to that Hebrews chapter 11, the list of faithful men and women who end their days fulfilling the purpose of God. Amen. So discipling is a way of reparenting. When we disciple one another, is that we want them to know the truth of who God is to them and who they are to God. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I have a conversation with someone and said, sometimes it's hard to reach out to non-believers. Sometimes you want to invite them to church and they stay away from church because somehow they had the feeling they will be pressured to become Christian. Have you had friends like that? No? Who feel that, I no issue with you believing God, but I don't want to come to your church, then I feel pressured. You see, even non-believers have a religious mindset. Right? The thing is that if they feel pressured to become Christian, then that is a wrong way. And sometimes we too can give a wrong idea to them that I want to be your friend so that you become a Christian. That is a wrong way of evangelism. But the true process or the true nature of evangelism is not to pressure people to become Christian, but rather the true process is to tell them that God loves them. That's a correct way. Is to show them the Father's love. And that's why Jesus appeared. He kept talking about the Father. Of how great the Father loves the people. That's why John 3:16 comes again. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. This is the nature of our Father's love. Why do we need reparenting? As David would say, because I've been forsaken. Somehow the message of life tells me I'm diseased. You know, I came across someone in ministry some years ago, and she was telling me, she's a pastor of a church, she was telling me how she has someone on staff who oversees the account. But a few years ago, this girl who was working for a company, just fresh graduate, worked in this company, and some money got stolen. And somehow, everyone thought she stole the money. But end of the day, it turns out to be someone else. But there was no apology. There was no sense of what I call restitution or repatriation kind of thing. And that person, from that day on, was grieved. The hurt was, people believe I'm a thief, even though I wasn't a thief. So sometime later, she left that job, started working for this church in the accounts department. And along the way, there was some new process that was needed to be done in terms of accounting. And so the pastor just told that staff that, oh, we just need to change that process. We just had to do something different this time. And suddenly she screamed at the pastor and said, are you accusing me of stealing? Is this why you want to change the process? And so this pastor, you know, was wise enough, right? Was wise enough to say, just this one line. Who has wounded you? Who has wounded you? And that began a healing process for this young girl. Reparenting is a corrective emotional and personal relationship with God. That's why Hebrews 12 says God considers us as legitimate sons and daughters because He disciplined us. God never punished us. Punishment has to do with our past, but discipline has to do with our future. We punish people by remembering, by causing them to remember what they have done wrong. But God goes beyond what we have done wrong and say, don't do it again. I'm going to teach you how not to do it again. I want to teach you how you not fall back again. And this is how much God loves us. And so when we look at the next slide, Jesus begins to reveal to us, the apostles begin to reveal to us, how do we get reparented by God? And he says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, if you look at the context of that verse in Matthew chapter 5, it's about here, the Father is perfect love. And so we are invited, being parented by God, to be perfect in love as our Father is perfect in love. Amen? It's not to be perfect like God as if we are flawless, but we can be perfect in terms of our character, showing godliness. And true godliness is the ability to love people unconditionally. Then Matthew 6, 9 says, pray like this, our Father in heaven. We do not pray just to God. We pray to a Father whom Jesus said he already knows our need. Someone say, if he knows our need, why pray? Well, you pray because you're going to see God's hand. If you don't pray when God is doing something, you can't see his fingerprint. But then if you begin to pray, you can see the fingerprints of God. But much more, he says in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. God invites us to participate in his mission. The Christian life is not about us being busy as much more as to be fruitful to the things of God. And then went further than this, Paul to the Corinthians says this in 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. When we know the Father, somehow grace and peace comes upon us. But much more, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. So if we know God, the first thing, or rather one of the many things we will discover, he is a God of mercies. How many of you need mercy? All us need mercy because we mess up one way and another. And problem is, we don't mess up one time. We mess up many times. But he says, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. How many of you need to be comforted? Amen. And then he says, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Wow, so much comfort. Right? God comfort us so that we can comfort others with the same comfort. See, be perfect as your Father is perfect. Show mercy the same way God has shown mercy to you. Show love to others as God has shown love to you. Just copycat. Just follow what your Father is doing. And once we keep doing this, will you not say that everyone who comes to this community, to this family, they get comforted? Thank God all of us are not conflicted in every part of life. Or afflicted in all parts of life. But I'm sure put all us together in this room, everyone can say, yep, I got afflicted from A to Z as a group of people. Imagine if we got afflicted by something, someone else in this room have the same affliction, but they found the comfort of God, would we not impart the same grace? If you have been afflicted by rejection and now you know you are a true child of God, will you not comfort others who feel that pain of rejection? If you have been afflicted by confusion and here you have been given wisdom from above, will you not share the grace of wisdom for those who are going through that confusion of life, which road they must take? And this is the grace of God. Paul came in and said further in Galatians, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit is in us, and the Spirit is teaching us sonship. That means God, as He's reparenting us to become like Christ, the Holy Spirit is helping us in the whole process. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit in you? It is like having a Volkswagen body with a jet engine. Eh? So you may not feel look great on the outside, but the inside, boom. Spirit is working in that sonship to you. And James says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Amen? The Father gives not just good gifts, but perfect gifts. Sickness is not a gift. Affliction is not a gift. But God gives us good and perfect gifts, not just to one and two, but the way He works with all of us is very consistent. God has many children, but the way He treats us as if we are His only child. Peter himself says, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the Father has caused us to be born again. And why did the Father want us to be born again? So that He can reparent us to become His perfect sons and daughters of glory. Now, after hearing all this, will you not look at your neighbor and a smile and say, wow, you're more than that? All right, tell your neighbor you're more than just a pretty face. You are a Volkswagen with a jet engine body, right, in you. But this is more than that. I always love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses, 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is because it did not know Him. The truth is the world will reject us. The world will speak bad of us. The world will think we always have an agenda. But this should not be among us. We know God. And so we should get to know each other and say to each other, behold, what manner of love the Father has for us. That we should be called children of God. How wonderful it is that we must ask God to reparent us. Because sometimes we are too old for our own parents to parent us. And sometimes our parents are not near us anymore. Or somewhere else. Or I've gone back to glory. It's now about you and I take the step and faith and say, Father, You are the perfect Father. You are the righteous Father who will do right by me. In closing, let me just pull a few points in. When the disciples were sent out for their first mission, they saw great miracles and signs and wonders. And then they begin to talk to each other and say, who is the greatest among us? That is an identity problem. That is an identity problem. Because it makes ministry competitive. But we are not supposed to do ministry in a like a competitive sport, but rather we are entering the kingdom like a child. The truth is, people, where there is competition, there is comparison. And where there's comparison, it stifles creativity. That means you do not allow God to use you. You know, sometimes a pastor, I'll tell you, one of the things that frustrate me, yes, pastor, do get frustrated, but not with you guys. I'm talking about some other people. When you ask them to serve, inevitably they'll say, oh, I'm not like that person. I'm not looking for clones. I'm looking for people who know their sons and daughters who shares our values of building lives and reaching lives. We're looking for people who will make positive difference. But many times when you call people, they will say, I'm not like that person. See, that reveals an identity problem. That reveals a competitive spirit. And that comparison stifles creativity because you believe God cannot use you. But if you had a humility and say, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to me, that I'm called His child. And if God has given me eternal life, what else God will not give me to make my life an offering of His glory. It's about being humble. And that's why I'm so happy, in one sense, that in First Light, honestly, I appreciate many people here who, in spite of their own apprehension, their own doubts, they step up. I can think of people like Mel, Krista, Anna, Rena. I can't think of any guys here, I don't know why, but honestly, I think of people like Sang, you know, Josh Wee. If you hear their life story, if you know them that well as I do them, thank you, people. I thank you that you did not hold back, but you allowed God's creative spirit to work in and through you. And that's what it means. And why is this important? Because this is my last point. When we get our welcome right, we move from an event community into a spiritual body. We move from an event community. Yes, we have events for building life and reaching life, but these are not events. These are being structured and constructed that we will become a spiritual family, that people feel safe to be here, and not just feeling safe, they are set free. So what we need to do is, we should not try to find our identity over and against others. There's no need for us to compare. There's no need for us to compete. All we need to do is, we are loved by the Father. Let's collaborate. Let's do something together. If God is for us, who can be against us? Sure, we're going to mess it up. Sure, we're going to do things sometimes the wrong way. But if we feel free and safe with each other, hallelujah. You know, something happens. Because when we do that, you are welcoming me and I'm welcoming you. And when we learn to welcome each other, we truly welcome the Father and say that He is with us and He is for us and He is in our midst. Amen. Come, let's rise. Let's give this time to the Lord. If you have never made this prayer before, but I will invite you to make this prayer and say, Father, thank you that you are the perfect and righteous Father. And just lift out your hands and say, Father, reparent me in every area where there is weakness, where there's a lack of grace flowing in that area, like areas of wound or affliction. Because I know that you are the perfect and righteous Father, you will do right for us. And so, Father, I just pray for everyone here. We can say you are good God. That we praise you from generation to generation, because we can echo David's prayer. Though we may feel forsaken by human relationship, you are still picking us up to fulfill your purpose in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and give each other a high five, because it's good, eh? Amen.